KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello and good morning. I'm Chris Fiorentino, your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm really happy you've joined us today. Each week, we get to talk with people who are making our community better and really creating enhanced learning experiences for our students through service. Today's show is about a really remarkable program that's had such a significant impact on the issue of slum housing and really low-income housing in general here in Fresno. With us today are Janine Nkosi, a faculty member in Fresno State Sociology Department, Ms. Esther Delahaye, the director of the Lowell Community Development Corporation, and two students, Cache Blount, you got that right, Cache, after four or five practices, and Angela Martin, a recent graduate. Welcome, ladies, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you. So glad to talk about service learning.
So Janine, will you start us off? Give us a little self-introduction.
Chris, thanks for having me in here today. I'm really excited. I teach over in the sociology department. I've been teaching over there for 7 years now, and I love sociology. So I'm going to give a shameless plug to all of the student listeners out there. If you need a general education course or you're curious about our social world, then come over and take a sociology class. It'll fulfill a GE requirement. I teach principles of sociology, critical thinking about sociology, contemporary social issues, and a lot of other great courses.
And you've been here how long?
7 years, on 7 years now, yes.
Yeah. And I think it really is an incredibly engaged department. That's a department that is involved in the community in so many different ways. You've been using service learning approaches, this one way of engaging with the community in your classes for a long time, Janine. And can you briefly explain what service learning is?
Sure. I'm glad you asked that. Especially for students, sometimes when they're registering for classes, they'll see an S attached to some of the courses and they'll wonder, like, what is that S about? At the university, there are a lot of different ways that the university engages students in community work. On the one hand, students might go out and they might do a volunteer day where it's one day in the community. Maybe they are partnering with a park and they're doing like a park cleanup or one day action like that or community service. And on the other hand, there's an academic-based way to engage students, and that's what service learning is about. And I think the dash between the service and the learning is really important because it's really a bridge that links what's happening in the classroom, what the students are learning, whether it be theory, whether it be statistics on poverty, whether it be how to do research methods, and linking that back into a connection with the community and what we're seeing and what's happening out there. It's a much more meaningful way for students to engage in the learning process. And so that's kind of what service learning is about. Faculty members such as myself, we integrate course assignments. You know, every student has to do a standard research paper. And so what makes the service learning component more meaningful is that the research paper is actually linked to potentially a social issue in the community. And so students are researching alongside the community partner. And so the writing, the researching, and everything that they're doing is so much more meaningful. And there's also a reflection component. So every week my students are engaged in really reflecting on, you know, the theories or whatever the content is in the classroom and reflecting on what they're seeing and what they're doing out in the community to really kind of bridge that learning and create a depth to the learning process. There's two other things that I think are important to point out in terms of the service learning models. There's an institution-based service learning model where a lot of the project is driven by maybe the faculty member, perhaps what their research interests are, or what they see as kind of an outsider's perspective potentially on what are the needs of the community. But then there's a community-based model where the community members are really driving the work. And so with that model, the faculty members and the students are really out in the community first as listeners and learners of what's happening in the community. And then together, the community kind of drives the projects that we're going to do together. And so that's the model that my students and I engage in, that community-based model.
Yeah. So the institution, the faculty member of the department, brings the theory and the information of the course, just as if it didn't have a service learning component. But then partnering with the community to identify those needs and what are the ways that students can be involved in helping address those needs in service that's directly related to the course, that service is enhanced and the learning is enhanced both.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's also about the community knowledge and the community history. So my students and I, we might be in the classroom learning about one of the things I think we're going to talk about with slum housing is, well, how did that come to be? We might be in the classroom learning about policies that produced some of what we see in our communities, but the community has a knowledge base and there's a history there.
Yeah.
And so going out into the community and kind of bridging that knowledge construction from the community up is really powerful.
Yeah, they become co-educators, which is so important. And you mentioned this issue of slum housing and housing issues in Fresno. I know you've addressed a lot of different issues in your courses. I know you were very instrumental in helping start the Fresno State Food Recovery Program, but we're talking specifically today about this issue of slum housing. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that issue in Fresno. What's the scope of that issue? How big of a problem has it been?
Oh, it's absolutely widespread, and it's an issue that has been around since Fresno's inception. One thing I think would be helpful for the listeners, if they haven't already read the 8-page special edition that came out, I think it was last May, the Fresno Bee, was Andrea Castillo, Bonilla Lee, and Barbara Anderson. They did an investigative research to really help the broader community understand the scope of this problem. And that story is called Living in Misery.
And I think we'll put a link up on the show's Facebook site to that story.
Yeah, and so what we're talking about is thousands of families in our own city who are, as the article said, who are living in misery. And I think it's important for the listeners, sometimes when we hear that word slum housing, we're automatically drawn to the physical structure of an apartment unit or of a home that's deteriorated, that is not what's called habitable. And so that may be that there is a leaky roof, maybe that there's mold, black mold in particular, that there are, you know, broken windows, or that there are physical deteriorations with the unit that are creating some of the slum housing conditions. But along with that, there is a health component. Children's health is impacted when they are living in a home that is not habitable, that has mold, that has a heater that doesn't work, and so they're cold during, you know, wintertime. There's a psychological component to a child that's living in a home where it is infested with rats and roaches or other pests. And what does that do to a child when they are constantly witnessing that? And I think something else is, when we hear the word slum housing, we're also talking about a slum lord business model. And I think that's something that people don't necessarily automatically think about when they think about slum housing. And so what that means is that we're not talking about a few bad property owners. And by and large, thank goodness that the majority of property owners in Fresno do not engage in the slumlord business model. What that means is that property owners buy up properties and they extract or exploit rents from vulnerable groups, whether that be on the basis of race, citizenship status, single mothers, for sure, folks that are living in poverty, and they don't reinvest those dollars back into the property. And then when the tenants call to get a repair done, if they make too much noise, then the property owners, they will retaliate against these vulnerable tenants. And so this, you know, is a very complicated, very complex issue. It is absolutely longstanding and absolutely widespread. And so, you know, for myself, I'm very thankful to have been able to connect with folks like Esther, Faith in Community, and other grassroots community organizers to help address this problem.
And as a sociology professor, obviously, you're touching on a lot of issues in your courses: poverty issues, race issues, advocacy issues, all of these things that are addressed in many sociology courses. And your students then, through this experience in addressing issues of housing here in Fresno, they're actually able to live out, if you will, play out the theory that you're teaching in your sociology courses.
Absolutely. And that brings up a really important point, I think, about the discipline of sociology in and of itself. You know, it's the study of, well, how on earth did our society, did our neighborhoods, how did they come to be the way that they are? And so we study everything in context. So there's a historical context to the slum housing crisis. There's an economic context. You know, we're talking about a private rental market. There's a political context. You know, there are political players, if you will, that have passed policy. You know, we had some recent policy passed very historic policy to help mitigate the problem. And so you're right, students are learning about these sociological theories in the classroom, but then they are seeing them come alive through the work that they're doing as they journey alongside the community organizers and the residents. And it's a really powerful learning experience. Yeah. One other thing I think about that is that we also then have the opportunity to, I don't know if challenge is the right word, but to also theorize from the community up some of the very theories that we're learning in the classroom. Are these theories accurate in how they explain what's happening in the community? Well, being there in the community gives students the opportunity to question that, to develop perspective, to broaden their understanding. And it's really powerful.
Excellent. And you mentioned community and the importance of the community voice and community basis for all of this work. And certainly, Esther, I'd like to get you in here. Before we get started with Lowell CDC and the community that you work with, maybe a little self-introduction is in order.
Well, thank you again for having me today. I'm Esther. I am a Lowell resident. And for those who live in the city of Fresno and don't know, Lowell is a downtown neighborhood. And it was one of the first neighborhoods that was kind of built north of Divisadero, kind of one of the first suburbs of Fresno that moved north. And there was a trolley that kind of ran through there up into what we now know as the Tower District area. And so it's a very, I think it's an awesome community, a very diverse community. Not just in housing stock, but in people. There are families that live there, a lot of housing, residential housing there, but also the borders of the community are Divisadero, 180, Blackstone, clear over to H Street. And so around our borders are a lot of businesses and commercial as well. So the diversity kind of goes there. I've lived in the community for just over 10 years now. Okay. I came to Fresno for school and moved into the community and just fell in love. So put roots there and have made that community home.
Now, are you a Fresno State grad? You say you came
in
for school?
I'm a Fresno Pacific grad.
Fresno Pacific grad. That's okay. You know, they're a college. We treat them with great respect, usually. Now, obviously, they trained you well because you've gotten very involved in our community through the Lowell Community Development Corporation. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that organization and what you do.
Yeah, the Lowell CDC was born in 2011. Is when we were incorporated and really kind of came out of a community effort there. There's been an active neighborhood group called the Lowell Neighborhood Association there for many years. And that group of neighbors began, you know, really discussing the assets in the community, the needs in the community, some of the challenges and what could be addressed and how. And a lot of things kind of kept coming back down to housing. Just kind of all boiled down to housing, whether it was home ownership, whether it was a really bad apartment complex, living conditions wise, slum housing, whether it was illegal activity happening, kind of all boiled down to like the place where it happened and housing. And so they said, well, what can we create an entity that would help address and really focus on housing in our community? And so that's kind of where the CDC was born, and with the administration at that time really focusing on revitalization in the downtown area, it was a really good time to just partner with the community, the city, the other community benefit organizations in the neighborhood that were already working for betterment, and the residents to really be kind of, it was just that perfect storm and that perfect place to really create this and really be able to create a model for healthy revitalization.
So how long has this partnership with the sociology department and Fresno State been around? And I think more important than the time, it's why? Why a partnership with Janine and others in sociology?
Thinking back, I started getting involved. I was hired in 2015. And so I started getting involved with other community partners kind of around that time and met Janine through another community partner that she was engaged with. I think it was Faith and Communities at that time. And we were all working on housing stuff in Fresno. So you know, I kind of came with my Lowell area lens and then met with Janine, was working alongside students in some of the work that we were doing to talk about blight in our communities and how that affected our communities in Lowell. And so just started working alongside students and Janine, and then it just kind of grew from there into becoming more of a partner in the community work.
Yeah, Janine.
I wanted to add, just in terms of how the work is community led. So Faith in the Valley Fresno, formerly Faith in Community, mm-hmm. as part of their night walks in the West Fresno area, were talking with residents about, you know, what do they love about their neighborhood and what are some of the challenges that they see, things that they would like to see changed. And one thing that kept coming up over and over was the boarded up housing crisis. And so I got connected because I was invited into the community and into the community work, and students did a project where we took the research skills that they were learning in the classroom and began to work alongside the Lowell folks, as well as Faith in the Valley folks, to document this problem across the city to really help our city understand. Because when we asked the city, well, what is the magnitude of this problem? Folks just didn't seem to know. Now, the residents, they knew for sure. But what the city needed was some type of statistics, you know, how can we really understand the scope of this? And so that's one of the ways that this partnership has been very strong in linking the research skills and the resources of the university with the work that's happening in the community to document the scope of this. And that helped to lead to the formation of the Mayor Council Code Enforcement Task Force and also the passage of the Blighted Vacant Building Ordinance. And so you can see how this collaboration and this partnership has been very fruitful.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned that that policy was passed when, just 6 months ago or so?
Well, that policy was the Rental Housing Improvement Act. Okay. And that was the second policy that through all of this, you know, community up organizing that helped to pass that one. The first one passed in early 2015, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
And Esther, so obviously the new policies are an important outcome of this partnership, but I think that there's been some other outcomes, some other impacts for you and the Lowell neighborhood in particular, right? Can you talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, policy is great change, but we at the community level understand that we all have a responsibility to create change in our communities. And so that's really where tenant education came from, is really talking about our own personal responsibility, whether it's a tenant's responsibility to the landlord or a landlord's responsibility to their tenant.
It goes both ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And as a community member, I have a responsibility to my neighbor, and my neighbor has a responsibility to me. And so really kind of getting at, you know, we can ask the city to change policy. That's a great step in a good direction. But really when it comes down to relationship and personal responsibility as living out being a neighbor. And so that's really kind of where we landed with tenant education, is if we can really help educate our neighbors as to what their rights are and also what their responsibilities are, we're going to create better relationships between tenants and landlords. And so that when a tenant needs something fixed, a landlord and a tenant, they already have that relationship. There's already that mutual respect there because the landlord sees that the tenant is caring for and investing in the landlord's investment. And so there's that mutual respect and the no problem, we'll get that done. I care about you and your family and that you don't have heating. And so we're going to address the heating situation in your home. So really kind of going down to the core of the relationship.
And at the same time, the landlord can hopefully then know that their tenants are going to be more responsive to their responsibilities in keeping up their own housing units and helping to alert the landlord when there is a problem. Because as we all know, sometimes those small problems that can be fixed fairly easily and inexpensively can grow out of control and become huge issues if the landlord doesn't realize it or if the tenant's not addressing it early,
exactly.
Either themselves or with the landlord's help.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, I hear a lot of times folks just saying like, well, why don't tenants just report things to their landlord? Yeah. You know, and I think that that's something that I've begun to understand a little more deeply is when you have vulnerable populations living in a place, there's a lot of reasons why they might not report a leaky sink or even a leak coming through their bathroom ceiling, right? Because they're afraid they're going to bother their landlord. Mm-hmm. And in turn, by bothering their landlord's going to ask them to move. And they don't have a
raise
lot of options.
Raise their rent, make a move, report them to the police for something.
Right. And so,
made up or otherwise. So.
Yeah. And so with folks who have some challenges to accessing housing, that becomes a major fear factor and a big problem. And so when they don't know their rights, but they also don't know their responsibilities, it just creates a really bad scenario for both the landlord and the tenant.
So I want to get our students in here for a second. And Cache, let's start with you. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you did at Lowell CDC and as part of Dr. Nkosi's course?
Okay, thank you for having me. I am a Fresno State senior. I am a double major in sociology and Africana studies. Through Dr. Nkosi's class, we were encouraged to do the service learning. I was hesitant at first. I was going to drop the class, to be honest, because I was like, I just don't have the time for this. But once I initially got involved, I knew it's something that I wanted to be involved in long term. So to be able to see the tenant education happening, seeing how the process of developing the curriculum happened for them, as well as getting to hear the stories of those and the issues and challenges that people have in the community was great for myself, because it's not a situation that I currently have, but it's great to know about our social world.
So you were out helping to facilitate these tenant education sessions?
Yes, just helping with the setup of things and posting signage, and there's childcare involved for those residents in the communities who don't have anyone to look after their children but need the education. So getting involved with either the tenants or their children, however needed.
So you're helping with setup, you're helping with marketing, or you're helping with childcare, whatever needs to be done so that it allows the residents to come and take part fully in these. Are you also doing some of the facilitation and the discussions during the sessions?
I'm not yet. I hope to become a facilitator for the Lowell CDC soon, now that I have more time. So that's definitely on the horizon.
So there's a special training that's part of to become a facilitator.
Yes, there is. Okay.
Well, obviously, you've taken a lot of classes, double major. You're taking a lot of classes in college, and not all of them. Most of them do not have a service learning component. Like you said, you were a little taken aback by it, and we're going to drop the course. But I'm wondering, do you think that the service learning component in this course really made a difference in terms of what you learned, in terms of the material covered, and really understanding it at a deeper level?
Definitely. The joy of bringing community issues to life and getting involved with those who are dealing with the challenges and connecting that to the work that you have to read for your coursework, it's amazing. And being a double major, it's great to know that a lot of the issues that people think that certain groups don't have, they actually do. So although some may assume that it's specific populations that have challenges with housing issues, there are others that are going underrepresented in the issue altogether.
Okay. So Angela, last but not least, can you tell us a little about yourself and how you were involved in the class and with Lowell CDC?
Yes, thanks, Chris. I'm a recent graduate. I just graduated with my bachelor's in community benefit administration and public policy.
Congratulations.
Sounds a lot fancier than it is, but I had a great time here at Fresno State, and now I'm on the post-grad job hunt, and I'm also volunteering with the Lowell CDC. We're working on designing and editing and refining our tenant education curriculum. We've gone through a couple of processes of having stakeholder meetings, getting feedback from the community, getting feedback from apartment owners, landlords, tenants, other community benefit organizations. So we're integrating that feedback into our curriculum, refining it. And as a volunteer, I've been able to be a part of that process after my work through a service learning class. So I got connected through a service learning class.
So Cache talked about the learning that came out of the service learning experience and how special that was. But as a graduate, you probably have a different perspective also in terms of what are the other benefits that came out of this, personally, professionally, otherwise?
Well, I may be a bit of a poster child for service learning because I've taken about 6 or 7 service learning courses.
That's great.
So I love it. And I'll say, because as a student, sometimes you can be in class and you don't understand the value of what you're learning. It's hard sometimes to see the application. But through service learning, I got the experience to be a professional while being a student and to interact with these organizations and these community leaders in a professional way. And that really prepared me for my career to understand what it would be like to be a professional in this community benefit organization sector that I'm entering into.
It's just such a great program. There's so many other questions I have for you, but we're starting to run short on time. I did want to point out and give a little shout out to all of you. There, we had this Touch the Community campaign here on campus recently. There were 8 teams from all over campus. Each team had a different service project. And at the end of the year, a year of service, the students did some presentations and there were some awards given. And the Lowell Sociology project that you were all involved in was the winner of the Touch the Community campaign. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's really great.
Thank you, yes.
As we finish up, I'm wondering, Esther and Janine, before we completely run out of time, if somebody wants more information, they want to know about the housing workshops, they want more information on Lowell CDC or about slum housing issues in Fresno, how can they get more information?
We have a website, thelowellcdc.org. Also, our Facebook page at the Lowell Community Development Corporation. It is the whole thing. We also have Twitter and Instagram at Lowell CDC. So there's many ways to follow us and kind of keep up on that. If anyone is interested in becoming a facilitator or hosting a workshop for their community group, or even like integrating the tenant education workshop into other kind of topics or groups that you have, like that is where we're at. So we have the curriculum. It is in English and in Spanish right now. And it is ready to go and ready to be widely dispersed to every tenant in the city of Fresno.
Great. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page to your website and to your Facebook page as well. So, you know, I've been following this project for a couple of years now, and I think it's really a fantastic partnership that you can truly see the very tangible outcomes of this. I think in the last 7 to 10 years, if you had been in the Lowell neighborhood 5, 6, 7 years ago, and you go there now, you can see the difference. I think you can almost feel the difference a little bit in terms of some of the attitudes and just the vibe in that neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. And certainly the work, the policy that's been passed in large part because of all the work that the sociology students have done in partnership with Faith in the Valley and with Lowell CDC. So I really appreciate all of your work on this and the difference it's made for our entire Fresno community. I certainly thank you all for being here today. So to our guests, Esther Delahaye, Janine Nkosi, Cache Blount, and Angela Martin, thank you so much for your time. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us today. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service and Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service and Action and tell us what you think about today's show. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.